Good evening. Welcome. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is David, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, David.
For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. I need to do that because I'll forget. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Please find your cell phone and then silence them. Also, we respectfully ask those present to refrain from unnecessary moving about the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open Big Book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. So this evening, we are discussing step two, and if you would help me welcome the panel, we have Amy and Iran. Myself, I'm still not on silent. Now I
am. Yes.
All right. So, we are going to start the meeting tonight. Step two says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So we're going to begin on page 44. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we've made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if, when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. To one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible. But to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he's an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face, but it isn't so difficult. About half of our original fellowship were of exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. Perhaps it's going to be that way with you. But cheer up! Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how do we find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main objective is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. Amy, would you like to start tonight?
Okay. My name is Amy, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Amy.
My sobriety date is May 9th, 1994. My home group is Big Book in Ghent, which meets Tuesdays at 5:30. Probably the first 100 times I read this chapter, I just heard, womp, 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 because I believe in God. It had nothing to do with me. I'm not an atheist. I'm not agnostic. I went to religious school. I went to Episcopalian boarding school. My mom talked like Jesus was at the table, and he was surely going to make my dad stop drinking at any moment. I knew I wasn't. This didn't apply to me. Yeah. Until someone told me that what I needed to do was read this chapter as we self-reliant, and that that would unveil to me the root of my disease, the thing that gives me dis-ease, the thing that separates me from ease and comfort, and the reason why I'm always looking for ease and comfort, why I want the path of least resistance, why I think I need to be comfortable all of the time. The problem with self-reliance is that deep down, I absolutely know it always fails. And I really believe that I'm a powerhouse. I have rarely met anyone that I thought was anywhere near as smart as me. And I really do believe that. I have way better plans and designs than anyone else. I'm offended every time I read little plans and designs in the big book. But I brought everything I had to bear on my alcoholism, and I could not budge it. And not only could I not budge my addiction to alcohol, drugs, food, shoplifting, sex, new shoes, whatever, I could not budge my mouth running. Couldn't do anything about it. As much as I wanted to not say things that should never be said out loud, as much as I believed that it was not right to talk trash to people or eviscerate them, because I have this real psychological talent for knowing the exact thing to say to you, that you will be a puddle on the ground. Of course, then you will never want to lay eyes on me again as long as I live. You'll curse any children I may bear in the future. Blah, blah, blah. But I have that unfortunate talent. And no matter how long I was separated from a drink, I still mouthed off. I wish that I could tell you that once I was separated from alcohol, I really straightened right up. I did not straighten right up at all. And it wasn't until somebody explained to me that if I went line by line through this chapter and turned every sentence into a question, that it would reveal to me just how and why I needed God so much. It would reveal to me that on my own power, I was in a really bad situation. So I did not come to this or come to step two out of virtue. I came highly pissed off because I can move mountains with my mouth, with my shoulders, with whatever it is that I choose to employ. But I could not do anything with myself. I couldn't make it better. And I don't know that I was really afraid of alcohol by the time I got to this. I wasn't afraid that I was going to die from alcohol, but I was wishing I was dead. I was dead on the inside. I had not been transformed. I had not really, I mean, I had done the steps, I thought, but I had not gotten access to a power that would enable me to live. I really believed for many years that I was working the steps to stay sober, that I was working the steps to get the power to straighten up, and it never happened. But when I was told that I was working the steps to get to the power that would then enable me to live sober and serene and useful, everything changed. Thanks.
Thank you. My name is Iran. I'm a real alcoholic.
Hi, Iran.
And my sobriety date is February 27, 2009. My home group is A101, which meets on Sundays in the Norfolk Sierra Hospital cafeteria, rooms 1 and 2, at 11 a.m. If you can't find it because it's a windy road, just listen for my laugh, and you'll be there. All right. First of all, lack of power was never my dilemma because I had all power. That's what I thought when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I was the almighty Iran. I've arrived, and I'm here. You know, that's what happened for me when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I remember that first drink, and I love how they say the preceding chapters, we want to distinguish the alcoholic from the non-alcoholic. And see, I used to think of, you know, when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought that the non-alcoholic was myself because I wasn't a homeless bum who pissed on himself or did, you know, retarded things. And I still had, you know, a job and money and things. And so I was really just someone who needed to be taught how to drink like a gentleman. There's two things I learned when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. One, I never could drink like a gentleman. And two, I never was a gentleman. So what happened for me was when I came crawling in Alcoholics Anonymous after taking that, realizing that I had, that I could not drink. Once I started, I could not stop. My brain constantly thought about that drink. I came crawling in Alcoholics Anonymous with a problem because that line that says, from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And for me, I thought I was going to hell. You know, like the God I understood, the God I was taught when I got as a child, you know, like we went to school, church on Sunday, we went to church on Wednesdays, we went to church for revival, we went to church because church was what we were going to go do. Like, I went to church all the time, but always the thing that I kept hearing from the pastor was, you're going to hell because you're gay. And so that's, I thought if I'm gay, I'm going, heck, I might as well have a good old time around here. So, and that's what, you know, so I'm like, all right, let's do this thing. And then when I came crawling in, and I kind of like, there was this always this idea that like, God's not going to want me, you know, God's not having anything to do with me at all. And I was of that hopeless variety of drunks that came crawling in here. And then I loved when it said the line where it's, well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main objective is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. It didn't say everybody else's problem. It just said my problem. So there, you know, a sponsor then told me, you know, like, well, do you have a relationship with the power greater than yourself? And I was like, sure. You know, when I was in jail, I had a relationship with God. When I was, you know, when I didn't have any money and I needed something, you know, I always had a relationship with God when it was time to have, you know, that's when I said, God, I need you now. Fix this. I'll do this, which I never did, and we'll be all right. That's the only thing I knew about God in my relationship with him. And then all of a sudden, there was just this amazing thing. Like, it was just this very simple statement. It's like, well, why don't you just reach out your hand and say, hey, God, I'm Iran. You know me. I don't know you. Can you show me you? And with that, it was just like that simple willingness to believe that there was something out there that loved me for patience, loving and tolerant and kind, and that didn't care about what I did at night, but loved me for who I was and the things that I was willing to do. And the kindness I was willing to share. And that was a big difference for me. But really, like, when I got here to Alcoholics Anonymous, the only thing I knew about God was that he sat on a mountaintop with a lightning bolt and bam, you're out, you know. And then today, though, it looks completely and utterly different. My relationship with God is completely my relationship with God. It's not anyone else's. It's not anyone's idea. It is what me and God have. And the walk that I walk with God is completely different. He pops up in different ways, and it's changed, you know, over the time that I've been here. But it's not at all what I thought it was. You know, I thought it was like this whole, like, oh, God, I'm going to be, thank you. You know, it's not like, you know, it's, I have a relationship where I have a communication with something that is greater than me, that has taken away something that is the most horrible thing that I've ever had to deal with in my whole entire life, which was a disease of alcoholism. When I started, I could not stop, and I did not know how to stop on my own. And when I got here, what happened was you guys showed me how to have a relationship with something that was greater than myself, that has taken away that desire to take a drink today. And with that, I never thought I could ever do that. But when I got here, I had an idea. when I, some days I still wake up with an idea, you know, but a lot of times that's really quickly canceled by a few things like a phone call or an idea that, or someone popping up that changes my whole perception of what I think it should look like. And so with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. We're going to continue on page 46. Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. Amy?
I make hard going of everything, and I really thought when I read this that I had to nail God down. I had to understand who he was, what he looked like, what the deal was going to be. You know, it was going to be a negotiation. I was going to enter into this with full knowledge of what he was going to do, what I was going to do. I need to understand it. Mm-hmm. I just told Iran that the guy on the mountaintop was Zeus. That wasn't God.
I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't know.
And I made it really complicated for myself. Really, all step two is can I quit when I want to quit? Can I control it? Can I control anything? On my own power, is my life going to be okay? Even if I have all my ducks in a row, even if I have the greatest man, the greatest bank account, the best wardrobe, blah, blah, blah. Even if everything is absolutely perfect, I know that I'm still going to get drunk. I know it's still going to happen. I don't have the power. Therefore, there's got to be some power greater than my own. And when it is that simple, you know, am I willing to believe? Can I believe, or can I just be willing to believe? That made it really simple. And what I discovered later on was that the complication of things is really just an excuse for my ego to get out and run around the block. You know, it wants to justify its existence and remind me how powerful it is. And so it complicates stuff. But it's really simple. I, with all of my considerable powers, could not do anything with this problem or with my life. And so there had to be a power greater than my own. Because otherwise, I don't know, what's the point? I mean, maybe God is not sitting on a mountaintop with a lightning bolt, but what a sadist. How dreadful that so many people would suffer so horribly, and not just materially, but the spiritual suffering. My self-loathing every moment. You know, I mean, I was looking for trouble. I was running for trouble. I was finding bad men to reinforce my self-hatred. I was doing the next wrong thing. Just what a wreck. What a train wreck. And this makes it really simple for me. Can I do anything on my own power? Do I want to live this way? Or am I just willing to believe that there might be a power greater than my own that can do something about this? Just do something with me. I don't even know what. And I certainly did not want to have a spiritual life, because I really thought that that would mean I had gone to a fundamental Christian school. And I was sure that meant that I would end up with dirt and bugs all around me in Africa or Haiti or somewhere. So I did not want a spiritual life, but I did want things to be better. So what the big book presented for me was a way to move to a faith. Nobody told me I had to have blind faith, like my childhood religion had said, that you just have to believe, don't intellectualize it. Well, I want to see some proof. And this is a proven workable method. There's proof. If I do a step, it gets a little bit better. God appears, when I'm willing. And it just keeps building on that. And so I come to step two in a bad mood, but it's not that hard to swallow this, because I've already seen in step one that I'm powerless and my life is unmanageable. And the harder I try to manage my life, the more unmanageable it gets. So I need a new manager. I need to fire myself. I need to be willing to turn myself over to someone or something that will do a better job of things than I have. And I had proved to myself over and over again, I was not doing a good job. I just wasn't. Thanks.
Thank you. I love you, Amy. So we found, I love this line, where it says, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided, proco, we took other simple steps. See, and that's, that was what was sort of like where I started my relationship with God. For me, it was like, all right, okay, I realized when I got here I had a problem. Once I started, I cannot stop. Okay, I'm thinking too much now. All right, there's a God. He seems to be loving and tolerant. You people seem to be sober. All right, let me do I'll follow you and I'll do these steps. And that's where that relationship with God started, coming to believe that my sanity happened. But it changed a lot, because I was in, I was about 4 years sober, and I was on a ninth supplement. I had stolen someone's identity, and I had to make it right. And with that, I was like having already problems with God, because the God that I had thought of when I first got in here was starting to creep his way back in, because, you know, I like to change things up. And so I was in this process of making it right, and I was working with my sponsor, and I went to go, and they offered me 7 months of jail time, and I was like, all right, I'll take it. And my sponsor suggested that maybe you might want to follow all the way through the end and see what God has in store. And so I went all the way to the end of that situation, and God, and the judge looked at me and said, I don't know what to do with you, Mr. Parker. And I, of course, said, most people don't. And so she, so, still a smart aleck. So she then proceeded to give me 1 month in jail for this thing. And as I was going to go turn myself in, the paperwork wasn't right. And then I went to go turn myself in again, and the paperwork wasn't right. And I went to go turn myself in again, and the paperwork wasn't right. And then just kind of looked at my sponsor and asked, what does it take for a black man to get arrested in Virginia? I mean, I really didn't know. I just like, what is going on? Because, you know, my idea about the situation is like, let me get in here. Let's get it done. Let me move on. Like, yeah, thanks for the grace. Let's go on. So, and then, I was sitting in there, and I finally got in there, and I get in there, and the first guy I meet is my cellmate, but the second guy I meet out there was a guy who had got sober in Alcoholics Anonymous in prison. He was doing his last bit of time, but we sat there and we talked through the book, and then all of a sudden there was this kid who was absolutely and utterly drunk. And of all the cells that they bring him to, they bring him and put him in my cell, and we start talking, and he starts talking about he thought if I stopped drinking and driving, I'd be okay. And but that wasn't seem to be the case, and so I started sharing, of course, what I know to do in Alcoholics Anonymous, my experience, strength, and hope. And then we start going through the book of Alcoholics Anonymous in there, and then he eventually goes to a treatment center, and I'm kind of stuck there again. And then, of course, Iran starts taking over. I was like, I shouldn't have been in here. This is a stupid idea. I shouldn't have thought of this. My sponsor's not answering the phone. What the heck's wrong with the world? And then I, you know, call my sponsor, and he answers the phone. I hang up the phone on him. And then I call him back, and he's like, I'm glad you called me back. And I'm like, thank you. And I'm like, but what happened with that moment was, is like, I realized I don't have what I like to call the bells and whistles of Alcoholics Anonymous. I can't just get up and go whenever I want to. I can't just go to any meeting I need to go to. I can't call any alcoholic I want to do. I was in a place where I was a complete and utter reliance upon God. And I didn't know what that looked like. And I didn't know. And I was like, I thought I was, you know, like the guru of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I was like, but in the truth, what I said was, is like, what if I give him it all and it doesn't work? And for the first time in a long time, I questioned where I was at. And then I remembered, like, you know, if God had a plan for me, like, it, you know, 1 month, and all I had to do is be helpful to people while you're in here. I mean, that looks a little pretty easy. You've been doing it outside for like 4 years, getting together. You know what I mean? Like, the reality was, like, I couldn't see again what's right in front of me, because I like to take charge. I'm blinded by the truth because I never can see it. But when I made that statement, it just hit me hard. It's like, I believe. It's been proven over and over again. You know, I'm a guy who could not stop drinking on his own. I'm a guy who, when I wanted to stop, I couldn't. I tried to control everything in my life and it all fell apart. And everything I did by myself was a mess. But everything I've done in here has been a beautiful, joyous, happy occasion. And I still had doubt. But that's the best part of this line. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. I don't have to have an absolute answer about God. I just have to constantly seek him. The more I seek him, the more I look for him, the more I try to find out, hey God, what do you have in store for me? The more direction, the more power that flows through me, the more I see him. So, but I love this line. It is open, we believe, to all men and women and children and brothers. But it is open, which means that I don't have, it's like I come in and I look for God. And it's open to me. And the more I look for him, the more I seek him, the more joy, the more fabulousness that I get from him. But I can also quickly forget, no matter how many blessings he's given me, no matter how much I've not had to do a lot of things or pain I've walked through that he's gotten me through, I quickly can forget. I think I got this. Oh, wait a minute. God? You know, and it's really hard to sometimes remember that. It's just that simple. God. I think he'll do the rest. Thanks.
Okay, we're going to continue on page 47. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe, or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. Amy?
Because I saw myself so completely in the first step, I really didn't have to work for the second step. It was obvious. I mean, it was like, heck yeah, there better be a power greater than myself, because I've done everything I could and I'm still failing, and I am not a failure. It doesn't need to be complicated at all. If I can stay current in that first step recognition that I have the disease of alcoholism, that I have a physical allergy, that I have obsessions of the mind, that I have a spiritual malady, if I can stay current with that one day at a time, I always can see my need for God. I always can see that I need to be restored to sanity. I've heard people talk about how they have a hard time saying that they're insane or that they need to be restored. But I knew that I was not like other people. I always knew. I mean, most of the time it was in a good way. Like, I'm not like the rest of you. But I knew that I really, really was not like other people, because I thought up stuff that, you know, that was not right. Like, I'm not an adulteress. I've never been married. It's their problem. Yeah. They're all married. They're the ones with the problem. A bowl of ice cream is a reasonable breakfast because that's dairy, that's protein.
Yes!
you know, shoplifting is a smart way to be self-supporting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew that I did not think like other people, that I had this lawlessness, this above the law. I mean, I tried to play it like I'm a sexy outlaw, I can do whatever I want, but I mean, it didn't work out, because I kept ending up in big trouble and hurting people over and over and over again. You know, it wasn't just my mother staying awake at night because the phone was surely going to ring and I would have totaled another car, or knocked down a telephone pole and taken out the electricity and the phone and in, you know, a half a mile block of the ocean front, and they were going to have to pay VEPCO triple overtime to get it fixed. It wasn't just that kind of stuff. It was the disappointment. I just couldn't bear the disappointment, because I kept telling everyone else, and I kept telling myself, I'm going to do it this time. I really mean it. And thank God that Bill makes that clear in his story, because nobody except another alcoholic can understand how nuts it can make you to really mean it. I really meant it when I said it. I never wanted to drink again. I never wanted to screw another person over again because they were in the way of my ease and comfort. Mm-hmm. I really meant it when I said it. And then there I would be, pounding my fist on the bar, you know, lifting money out of my sister's wallet, whatever it was. I would be doing it again. So it's real simple to me to get to this place of, can I believe, or can I, am I even willing to believe? Because I see it. I see the vast landscape of, I just went through like five words in my head of what to say, and they were all profane. The vast landscape. The vast landscape of mess.
Yes.
It was carnage and debris behind me, and the big book says it better, the bitter morass of despair spread all around me like quicksand. I saw it. So once I see step one, I don't have to work very hard for step two. I'm there. Thanks.
Thank you. When you were speaking, I was thinking that's my favorite one from Bill's story. No words can tell the loneliness and despair I found in that bitter morass of self-pity. Quicksand stretched around me in all directions. I had met my match. Mm. I had been overwhelmed. Alcohol was my master. I love that line because it's exactly how I felt. And I love how I said no words can describe, but he described it beautifully. Thank you, Bill. But that's exactly how I felt when I got here. No words could tell you how much pain I was in, how horrible I felt, how disgusted, how selfish I felt, how great at the same time, yet I just need one more great idea, yet I don't know if I can ever do it again. I'm horrible. You know, when I came back to Virginia, I mean, I'm a very thoughtful person. I hadn't talked to my parents in a while, and I decided that it would be important for me to come home to Virginia to kill myself in Richmond so they wouldn't have to ship my body back home. You know, that's what I think. You know, that's what I bring to the table. All, you know what I mean? Like, that's all. You know, like, and then I call my mom from it because I didn't die. I call my mom from, like, the Riverview Hampton Center, and I'm like, hi, Mom. Yes, I'm in Virginia. I tried to kill myself, and I'm in a sane asylum. Can I stay with you? Like, that's how I come to Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, and then I love, what happened was I still come, and I'm like, I'm ready to die. I don't want to give it up. Like, I walk around with my head hung down. I can't open my eyes. I'm just like, if you ask me a question, I'm like, yes. No, maybe. I can't say anything more to anybody at all. And then what happened for me with that line where it says, do I now believe or am I willing to believe that there's a power greater than myself? I was like, I finally, after about a year of walking around like that, I found a little job, and I had a friend of mine who was working in this restaurant, and we became friends. And he was sitting at the bar, and he had a drink in front of him, and he said, you know, I'm an alcoholic. I'm like, what are you drinking? And he's, of course, said, well, something that's probably not good for me. And I'm like, I'm thinking, I should say, well, let's get to the hard stuff. But my mouth, see, God does for me what I can't do for myself. I said, what, are you a friend of Bill W's? And he's like, yeah, are you? And I'm like, oh, hold on. So we started having a conversation. He takes me to a meeting at Downtown Young and Sober, and there's a 16 and a half year old girl there who's been sober for a minute, and she's got some sponsees. And she's like doing the do, and she's happy, and she's running around. She's got a service commitment. And I remember looking at her, and I go, if this works for her, I believe this can work for me. But see, I used to think that when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I had to believe in God immediately. But it wasn't the God that I had to believe in immediately. I had to believe that this will work for me because it worked for you, because I believe that A as a whole was a power greater than myself, and I was willing to do what she did, and that would work. You know, sometimes you hear the crackpots in Alcoholics Anonymous. They say, you know, you can believe that doorknob is your higher power. And I used to think that's retarded until my doorknob broke. And I realized that my doorknob on my door, like, I was trapped and I couldn't get out. And I had so much faith in that doorknob. You know what I mean? I had so much faith. That doorknob When I closed that door and it locked, I was like, I could be safely naked in my house. I could, you know, my stuff was taken care of. I was spiritually fit because, like, everything, I was safe when that door opened. But when it broke, it changed my whole entire philosophy about the idea of a doorknob. It did. I was like, let's see where some people are right. You know that line, you know. Maybe there's another way to look at this. But that line really is the truth. It's like every time you guys give me an opportunity to look at it a different way. See, when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, it's like one way. It's Iran's way, and it's Iran's way of thinking, it's Iran's will, and that's the only way to make it happen. And you guys, like, slowly, like, every once in a while, you chip in. If I stay around long enough and I keep staying around, something changes my view on something, which opens my eyes to the same thing that you said. And it's really that 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening as the result. See, that's it. The longer I stay, I keep having a spiritual awakening as the result, because I get to listen to your result. And I get to listen to your result and everybody's result. I get a little bit of experience and it changes my view. But the question is, do I now believe? When I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I believed in a power greater than myself. Something was bigger than myself. But I love this part because it's where it works for me and my sponsees the most is, am I even willing to believe? That's the key. Constantly, that's where I seek him. That's where I constantly seek him. I'm willing to believe that you might be right about this idea, God. I'm going to follow that direction. And when I do that, when I'm willing to just believe, to willing to seek him, I'm willing to do something different, those actions change my view every single time. So thank you.
Thanks, Aaron. Page 52. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Was not a basic solution to these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flights? Of course it was. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas didn't work, but the God idea did.
For probably the first, I don't know, more than 10 years that I was sober, I did not drink, but I was definitely still living in the world according to Amy. And like Iran's doorknob that exerted perfect control for him, the world according to Amy, everything is about me, everything you say has something to do with me, everything I say is for my glorification, everything, you know, the world according to Amy is perfection. And you all are constantly in trouble because you're screwing things up. But I get to this paragraph, and this nails me so completely. Maybe I never even read this paragraph in the first 10 years. It was one of the ones that I just flipped through, or I don't know what I thought, or I thought, I don't know what I thought. Maybe I thought this was for the people who are the summer sicker than others, which was not me. but then actually that's not true, because I got to a point where I started thinking, I must be one of the summer sicker than others, because everyone in the room is talking about back when they were drinking and things were so bad. Mm-hmm. That's when they were dishonest. That's when they were selfish and self-centered. That's when they were doing the next wrong thing. But the truth is that I was still doing all that stuff, plenty years away from a drink. And I was a sort of sober horse thief. That's what I used to hear when I first got here. You know, you come in as a drunken horse thief. If you're not spiritually transformed, you're still a sober horse thief. And that's what I was. I thought that I was going to get spiritual by osmosis. I thought that it was like somehow just gonna land on me or make sense to me. And when I would see other people who seemed really calm and peaceful, and they had good clothes on, because that was important to me. I wasn't going to listen to anyone who couldn't even dress themselves. When I would see somebody who looked like they had it together, or what having it together in the world according to Amy looks like, I would say, you know, what books are you reading? Is it like chakra stuff, or is it Buddhist philosophy? I mean, I thought that maybe there was something people were doing that wasn't getting talked about in meetings that was making them so chilled out, that was making them really calm. I was just missing the whole thing. Because I had made a deal with God, like it was going to be a partnership, you know, and he could handle the stuff that were his strong points, and I would handle the things that were my strong points. And of course, almost everything is my strong point. So that's what I was doing. I told Iran before we came out here. That a few years ago, I went with my man up to Atlantic City, and we hadn't made plans. We had just gone on the spur of the moment. And at about midnight, we were tired, and we didn't have reservations anywhere. And he looked at me, and he said, well, what are we going to do? Because, you know, I always make the plans. What are we going to do? And I looked at him, and I go, oh, honey, I'm so tired. I can't be in charge. And he looked at me, and he goes, oh, honey, you've never been in charge. You've just been running your mouth. And that's what I've been doing. Mm-hmm. I've just been running my mouth, thinking I was in charge. But God's big enough to handle that. And so I get to this paragraph, these bedevilments. And I have to ask myself, again, on my own power, can I relieve myself of misery and depression? No. Because really, you could look at me cross-eyed and I'd be miserable. Or you could look at me like you're really interested in me and I would be miserable, because what am I going to do with that? I mean, either way, it's like lose-lose everywhere. Because I've got a spiritual malady. Because the problem generates from within me. It's not about you. You know, if nobody comes up to me afterwards and says, wow, you were so great, I'm going to think, those people just didn't appreciate me. But if too many people come up to me afterwards and tell me how great I am, my ego is going to rebuild. I'm going to do something, you know, crazy, like, I don't know, take over a country tomorrow. Yes. And then I've got nothing but trouble.
Whoa.
So on my own power, it's always going to be trouble.
Yes.
And I can't fix the misery and depression. My personal relationships, all I can say is I have really nice, friendly people around me, because I shouldn't have any relationships if it were based on me. I'm very hard to get along with. I really, and I know I am. I know I'm difficult. I'm grumpy. I'm prickly. I could kiss you or spit on you. It's a crapshoot. I cannot make a satisfying living. I do not want to work. I do not want anyone to be the boss over me. I really don't recognize any authority but my own. I don't even know if I'm capable of showing up at the same time somewhere every single day and being happy about it. I don't know that that's in me. I'm not able. So basically, I do have a feeling of uselessness, because I try so hard to be helpful to people, and then they get pissed off at me. So I feel useless, because I'm so misunderstood. I'm so nice. I do so much for others. I mean, secretly, I'm thinking, you should be bowed down at my feet right now, and you're never going to be able to appreciate me enough to make me happy. So I do have a feeling of uselessness. I have all this stuff. There's no denying it. And I even went through all this with a dictionary, a couple of different dictionaries, to make sure that I was completely comprehending every single word, because I'm always looking for loopholes too, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't apply to me. It all applied to me, all of it. And I saw that on my own power, I cannot budge any of these things. I have all of them. However many days or years or whatever away from a drink, I still have all of this stuff. This is the root of my disease. This ugliness, and it is ugly, that is born from my selfish, self-centered nature. This stuff, this is my unmanageability. And also this unmanageability makes me unable to reach God. without following directions, without taking action, I'm going to do what I always do, which is sit around and think about it. And that's a problem because the disease centers in my mind. And I can't fix my problems with the problem. And I forget that all the time. Because my first instinct when there's trouble is, well, let me think about this. And I just make it worse. Thank God for this paragraph, because this paragraph changed my life in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I am still most of these things. I can be miserable and depressed and not be great in relationships, but I have hope. I have belief. I have a faith that works. I have seen that the impossible has been overcome. I've been separated from alcohol. So I do believe that I can be separated from these things as well. Not on my own power, but on the power greater than my own. Thanks.
What she said. Okay. So, yeah, I'm like that. Yeah. That's, So, my favorite line, but it's all of that stuff. I'm the same exact way, though. I came here. It's none of my, I can't, all of that. And then, but my favorite thing is when we saw others solve their problems by the simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. That's where I had a problem. It's just like my drinking. You know, like, okay, so you guys say God's a problem. The answer, you guys are happy, you're joyous, you're free, you're skipping, you're dancing, you're whatever you're doing. That looks great. But there's got to be another way. There's got to be another way. Come on, there's got to be. I mean, like, there's got to be, like, just... I wish my sponsor sometimes talks about his fish tank thing. And I think, I'm like, I wish I would have had that idea. I could have stayed a little longer. No, I'm just saying. But I mean, like, that's, you know, like, there's something else. Like, if I focus on fish, if I focus on my friends, if I focus on dancing and music, or passion, something else, there's got to be something else. You guys have got to be doing something else in Alcoholics Anonymous besides just working these steps and dealing with God. There's got to be something else you're doing. You got to tell me the truth. Let me know. There's got to be something else. And what it is because I don't, the truth for me was that when I got here, I was exactly all those things. Unhappy, miserable, full of fear, full of fear, full of fear. Useless, full of fear, useless, full of fear. Like, that's how it went for me, like, all the time on a constant basis. And I was expecting that I didn't want to give it away. I didn't want to give it up to something greater than myself. Because why? What does that mean? I'm going to be like, you people, I wanted to have fun. I wanted to go hang out in the bar. Because that's where my people, that's what we did. I wanted to go dance. I wanted to go strip naked and run around and have a good time and not have any consequences is what I really wanted to do, you know? And I didn't feel like there was going to be an answer for that. Like, you, that would not work because there's a God. But what happened was I had to be broken down. I had to be so full of fear that I had no answer. I had to be so full of self-pity and doubt and disgust and hatred and unabiding ability to realize the truth about myself that I just realized there was no other way out. That I did see it working, you guys, because I had run out of ideas and answers. And when I decided to do that, to take that simple thing, there's something. But when I figured out that simple answer, that I did not want to live that way. I didn't care about dancing. I didn't care about having a good time anymore. I just didn't want to live the way I was living anymore. I did not like living full of fear. I did not like living full of pain. And I did not like being the most hated person in my head. And when I was able to get out of my head long enough to realize that maybe these steps, maybe you guys aren't so bad, maybe something's a little more exciting, I was willing to make that first step. But I love the idea that says our ideas didn't work. But the God idea did, and it did, but I didn't believe it did. But the problem is that I didn't have to believe it did. And you guys never told me I needed to believe right then in order for it to work. You told me, why don't you just come along this way? Are you willing to believe that it worked for me? Come on. And I've seen it work by taking the actions. But my idea is still today, one, to win out. They're not so good up there if I spend too much time. It's just not so much fun. So I think I'll just keep coming up or coming back or growing up. How about just keep seeing it? Thanks.
Okay, we got time for one more paragraph, and you guys can do a couple more minutes, and then we'll wrap the meeting.
Okay.
We're gonna close on Appendix 2, which yes. If you have a fourth edition, is page 568. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable.
I have lived most of my life with my self-interest being the foundation of my morality, promoting my self-interest, protecting my self-interest, making sure that you don't poach on the boundaries of what I think I need in order to be okay, or not allowing you to take away from me what I think I need in order to be okay. And as a result of working these steps, as a result of being awake one day at a time, not just having one spiritual awakening, but living as a spiritually awake person, not all the time, but more often than not, my life is not about me. It is about being of service to the God who saved me. The big book says we will be reborn, and I owe a debt. And so now when I look out, instead of seeing a hostile world trying to take from me or get from me what I think I need in order to be okay, I see God's kids who have mostly the same thing that I've got. The need to be number one, the need to be special, the need to be treated like we're the greatest thing in the world. You know, I just want to be loved. And I know that you just want to be loved too. And that I don't have to figure out how to love myself or how to love you. In a spiritually awake state, the power for that just channels right through me. Really, it's even best when none of me is in the way at all. And I'm just open and clean and clear, and the power greater than myself just comes right through me. And that makes intolerable situations tolerable. I'm not going to say that I'm all guru'd up and I'm at peace all the time. But more often than not, I know that all is in divine order and that there are no mistakes. And thank God. What a way to live. What a great way to live. I used to hate the people in meetings that would say, I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. I'm so grateful that I'm an alcoholic. I'm so grateful that there's a textbook that explains to me exactly what to do. And that if I take these actions, the right thinking will follow. That God will put the right thoughts in my head. All I have to do is follow orders. I love the step 3 director-actor thing. I love movies. And so it makes sense to me that if that relationship is how I'm going to operate, God's the director, I'm the actor. I don't have to figure anything out. I have a script to follow. Wardrobe tells me what to wear. The lines are in front of me. It even tells me what look to have on my face when you're saying something else. I don't have to figure anything out. It's a conflict because I love to figure stuff out. But when I can live in that awake place where I'm open and I'm willing and I'm just telling the truth about me and I'm willing to hear the truth about you, all is really well. Thanks.
Before I forget, thank you for Simple Actions for having me on the panel. And my favorite thing is this spiritual experience, this appendix. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of a spiritual experience, and that is my favorite truth. Awareness. But I think it's like, but I used to think when I first got here, when I first read it, I'm not sure. It was a cloudy statement. I'm just saying. Awareness. I used to think like, I'm like, okay, where's God going to show me? Where's my, I got to look for my burning bush. But I mean, today I know that awareness is just simple awareness of being in the moment with another person, human being in general, and listening and being awake to hear whatever they have to say and being aware of that stuff and being able to respond and not create chaos or knowing. My favorite thing of awareness is learning how to shut my mouth so I don't have to make an amends later. I'm still working on it, but it's getting better. But I'm all like that awareness of that stuff, because normally I'll be like, first of all, let me tell you something, honey. I'm all, don't you ever look at me like that and give me that. You know what I mean? I'm ready to cut you down because I'm ready to let you have it. And then so with that, the simple awareness of what these steps have taught me in this program of action has showed me is that I can actually just go, well, that's nice. And that is an awareness of a power greater than myself, because I didn't do that. I didn't make that. My conscious decision is here. Once I went to a 7-Eleven, and I was at the 7-Eleven, and this lady, she looked at me, the clerk there, and she said, what do they do? And I was like, what are you talking about? She goes, are you having twins? Because your belly's pretty big. And I was like, excuse me, can I get a pack of Newports, please? Because see, what I really wanted to do was I wanted to grab her by her hair, bang it down, take that money, wrap it around, just beat her to death. But there was a sense of awareness that is just not a sensible thing to do today. And see, I didn't come up with that idea. I didn't do that. It was a practical program of action from Outbox Lives that showed me that. But I just have a few more seconds, but I want to talk about he can only be defeated by an attitude. By an attitude of intolerance. I'm intolerant of everything, or belligerent to denial. I'm belligerent about everything. That's not how I think it should be. I don't think God is the answer. I don't think the Jewish people are right. I don't think the Christians, the Muslims, I don't think any of that right, but it's just simple awareness that maybe I can see where they are, right? And I don't have to take all of that. I can take a little bit. But it took me a while to get that. It took me a constant, simple, keep coming back. So what I would like to say is, if you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous, I would suggest that you find someone who's properly armed with the facts about themselves, who's willing to take you through the book of Alcoholics Anonymous one page at a time, who's willing to show you the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to pass the Seven Tradition basket. Seventh Tradition states that every AA group ought to be self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the Seventh Tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. Has anybody got any announcements for the good of AA tonight? John.
I'm John, alcoholic.
Hey, John.
Saturday morning, 10 a.m. at First Presbyterian Church in Hampton will be the anniversary brunch. It's always a fun time, fun food fellowship, and there'll be a speaker. I'm not sure who it is, but he's from Raleigh, so that's all I know. And it isn't Raleigh per se, it's just Raleigh from Raleigh. that's Prince William's son, Raleigh. But anyway, that'll be Saturday morning at 10 a.m., First Presbyterian Church, Farmerston, Victoria.
Thanks, Josh. Any other announcements? Ralph?
I'm Ralph, I'm all out.
Hey, Ralph.
Hi, Ralph.
This Sunday, the 20th, Jose's having the 13th annual picnic, and that's going to be at Woodstock Park, and that's on Providence Road in Virginia Beach, right across from the firehouse. It's from 10 to 4. So bring your family, your neighbors, your children, you have a children's committee there, and your pets. I don't want you to have them on a leash. All right, and it's a great time, and every year we have a good time. So you're all welcome.
Thanks, Ralph.
Thank you.
No, that was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other announcements for the good of AA? This group is having a mini conference on October 16th and October 17th in this very room. That's a Friday night and a Saturday. We're going to have Jerry W. from Raleigh, North Carolina, and Rich B. from Ocean City, Maryland. It'll start on Friday night at 6:30 p.m. We'll adjourn at 9:30 that night. We'll start again on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and we'll cover several different topics, and we'll quit at 2:30 p.m. on Saturday. There's a potluck lunch in the middle on Saturday, so please bring a dish if you wish. There is no fee for this event, and it is open to anyone. Feel free to take some of these lovely pumpkinish flyers that are
pumpkin-ish,
on the
nice.
Table over there,
pumpkin-ish.
And help us get the word out. Everyone's welcome, and we'll look forward to having you there. Okay? Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Thank you. Newcomers, is there anyone in the first 30 days of sobriety? We're not going to ask any questions. We just want to know your first name. Anybody in their first 30 days, if you could just let us know who you are.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Jessica.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Shannon.
Welcome.
Welcome. Come on, I feel like two more. There's like two more. Hey, Sebastian. Welcome. All right. There's literature available over yonder. This is yonder.
Yonder.
Over yonder. Over there. On the
over
table.
Over there.
If you'd like a book, just see one of the home group members to purchase it. Generally speaking, if you can fold it, it's free. Fold it and take it with you. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information on sponsorship, we're going to have two home group members up here after the meeting. Stephanie and Evan will be up here at the front of the room after the meeting. Feel free to come ask them questions about sponsorship. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. Other people use the facility, so we're trying to make sure that the nice church folks don't have to walk through a cloud of smoke as they come in and out of their building.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's that. All of our meetings are recorded. And upcoming events can be found on our website, simpleactions.net. Let's see. And could we please thank the panel one more time? I'd like to thank everyone who participated. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held as usual at Plaza del Sol, a lovely little restaurant up on 22nd and Colonial. Everybody's welcome. And who's going to read the last two paragraphs? On nice and loud, John.
Nice and loud. My name's John Alcoholic.
Hi, John.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if you own a house, if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely lead us, some of us, as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Amen.
Amen.
Hello.
I didn't think of the basket.
I'm really distracted. I understand. So I apologize. I understand.
Our Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.